Welcome to the Newlyn Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast, hosted by me, Kate Thomas. This podcast is packed with practical tips and expert views to unlock the leadership effectiveness in you and your organization. My name is Kate Thomas, and I'm a leadership effectiveness expert and the founder of Newlyn Rock, a consultancy dedicated to focusing on increasing leadership effectiveness for talent-savvy companies and individuals. In this podcast, I will share my experience of supercharging leadership performance and business results with you. Join me and the best thought leaders for topical discussions and talent-centric insights. In today's leadership lesson, we are looking at the first of six ways you can reset, reboot, and rejuvenate your brain to become more effective, more agile, have greater strategic impact, and boost your well-being. The first lesson incorporates the fairly new and evolving field of neuroscience. There are various studies that support the benefit of approaching your day through the lens of kindness. Being kind is said to be a superpower. And the studies indicate when we approach life through this lens of kindness and love, we are activating a part of our brain that moves us from rational thought, survival mode, and where stress lives, to a space in our brain that thinks beyond boundaries. And if we take a closer look at the theory supporting this, it talks about two primal forces that make life possible: love and fear. Love to attract and thrive in life, fear of rejection and failure in life. So to approach your day through the lens of kindness and love, it's not easy, but the science suggests that it's really worth a try. So here's how the brain might reboot. Whilst the rational brain is essential to our decision-making process, overuse can lead to hard thinking. It can lead to feeling worn out, feeling stuck. Overuse of rational thinking, it literally stunts leadership effectiveness because it stops leaders from moving forward. The theory points us to consciously focusing on reducing the use of this rational side. We therefore need to find ways to short circuit our thinking. And I've incorporated these newer techniques into my executive coaching work. And based on what it is that I'm observing, leaders are making progress in many ways. Einstein is thought to have said, "The rational mind is of service to the intuitive mind." Therefore, you could say the ultimate power sits within our intuitive thoughts. He's alluding to the fact that the side of our brain, the home of logic, is the servant or of service to the side of our brain where intuition lives. We all know that we need to use rational thinking. And it's not to say that rational thinking isn't effective, but to bring our vision, our ideas, our breakthroughs to fruition, rational thinking and logic, it's what implements the idea. But if you start your idea, your vision, and the ideas for what's possible, if you start that planning from your rational brain, it's very likely that what's possible, the forward-focused ideas for you and your leadership impact, those ideas, they won't see the light of day. What's possible gets clouded over by rational activities. And I see this show up countless times when I'm assessing leadership effectiveness. And through coaching, the key is to identify ways to intercept this way of thinking. Being kind is said to be a way to wake up and stimulate endorphins that fuel the mental muscles that quieten survival mode. And in this mode, we are drawn to rational thinking. So based on my observations, being kind first means you flow in your leadership instead of freeze in your thinking. In this week's leadership lesson, we are looking at the science which talks about the impact of exercise on the brain and how we can maximize our overall effectiveness. We all know how important exercise is to our physical strength, but what would you say to the science that says without physical exercise, our brain power goes into decline? Therefore, science tells us that physical activity is no longer a nice to do, but part of our leadership effectiveness toolkit. Let's talk about how we exercise and explore a newer concept, mental fitness, and how conscious exercise is one of the driving factors. The science behind this shift in how you can exercise comes from our partnership with Shezad Shimane, a Stanford lecturer and a best-selling author of Positive Intelligence. His research talks about conscious exercise as having a direct correlation with boosting our mental fitness. Building mental fitness means you are building the mental muscle and mental capability of self-command to access the part of your brain that thinks beyond boundaries. It's said that this space in your brain converts obstacles into opportunities and therefore navigates the stress of change and challenge, so you are bypassing survival mode instincts. Most of us exercise by going through the motions, autopilot mode, and that just drives logical thinking. Our mind wanders. It thinks about maybe the grocery list, what's on TV that night, planning for a meeting, rehashing a conversation, all totally normal. But exercising in this way may not be helping to build the mental muscle we need to quieten that internal chitter-chatter, to reduce stress and maximize our effectiveness. So conscious exercise means being present in the movement. We can achieve this boost in mental fitness through all forms of exercise. So the next time you are out exercising, incorporate these tips and tweaks, which have been designed by Positive Intelligence. In short intervals, zone in and focus on the texture of the exercise equipment you are using. Or maybe feel the air change on your skin as you run or walk outside. Notice different sensations across your feet as you move. The science tells us that these small tweaks will open up neural pathways and move us from rational, task-based thinking to a place in our brain where superpowers live, such as curiosity, empathy, innovation. You could say conscious exercise is a hidden secret. Try it, repeat it, and make it a daily habit. Start to notice the benefits in your overall well-being and cognitive capacity. If you are curious and want to explore mental fitness as part of your leadership development focus, get in touch with the team at Newland Rock and hear about our one-to-one and group program. This week's leadership lesson focuses on the importance of nourishment. To nourish is described as providing your body with what is necessary for life, growth, and good health. And the number one factor is to eat well. We all know how important this is, and the executive leaders I work with, they often find this hard. A vicious circle of feeling stressed and busy leads to grab-and-go eating culture. And many of us will raise our hands and say, yeah, that's just the reality. We are short on time. Research is suggesting that our body is experiencing toxin overload, which can exaggerate our stress responses, reacting in the moment style of leadership. What can we do about it? Eat better? Sure. What about leading a nourished life? What does a nourished life look like? Modern day living, thinking, and deciding from the rational survival brain can mean that many of us don't stop to observe what is going on within us or around us. We're on the move cognitively and physically, therefore we skip over a fundamental step towards being nourished in ourselves. How often do you physically stop? When do you stop and do nothing apart from connect with what's going on in you? Try it. Start your day with a pause, maybe a few extra minutes in bed, making that connection with your body before you physically move. Think as if you are scanning your body from top to toe, noting what's going on in you. The pace of leadership living means we don't notice the signals in our body and that our body is continuously talking to us. We know our brain's purpose is to keep us alive and healthy. And according to neuroscientist Lisa Feldman Barrett, our brain continuously tracks what our body needs, such as how much water and other resources, how much is actually available at any given time. And she talks about this as our brain using a body budget. So when levels get too high or too low, our brain sends out a signal to get us to take action. For example, you're thirsty, you have a drink. The research indicates that our internal messages aren't always clear, and sometimes we confuse signals from our brain as stress or anger, and that can interfere with how we respond and interact with what's going on around us. When the brain detects stress and anger, the science tells us that it leads to survival mode thinking, where we're being rational, logical in our decision making. From a leadership perspective, this can limit our ability to be agile, future-focused, and aspirational. Understanding how to do a body check is a valuable leadership effectiveness tool. Take some time to pause. Ask yourself, what sensations are present right now? What emotions are creeping in right now? Resist the urge to judge yourself. Just gain clarity. Just gain awareness over what your body is telling you. Learning to get better at reading our body to meet your needs can enable you to ensure you are leading at an optimal level. Leaning into you becomes an essential leadership effectiveness tool. And this simple stop to check in is a habit worth forming. It's a simple tweak. It's quick. In your morning routine or before a leadership meeting, take a moment with yourself before you let the environment in. And this simple moment, this simple tweak, gives you the information you need to approach your day or the meeting ahead in the way that will serve you and your leadership impact the best. It's about supercharging performance and acknowledging you first. Ask yourself three simple questions. How nourished does my body and mind feel right now? What does my body and mind need from me today? And what can my body and mind do today? These questions provide you with information to decode how you need to show up for the day ahead. Give it a try and let me know how you get on. Welcome to leadership lesson number 4. And today we are talking about the power of five. Jim Rohan, the self-made millionaire, a mentor to leaders and author of many best-selling Power of Discipline books, is thought to have said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." And when I combine this statement to one of my favorite behavioral science quotes, which is that your behavior is a function of who you are as a person in the situations you put yourself in, this combination, it illustrates the importance of self-awareness and targeting the right relationships as being key to leadership effectiveness and maximizing impact. The leaders I coach, they gain a deep level of clarity regarding who they are as a person, what makes them tick, and the value they want to bring. And when you align this insight with a focus on their relationship impact, our coaching moves to being deliberate about their network, who they connect with, and who they have around them. Leaders then experience the power of five, a combination which sees them accelerate. This leadership lesson highlights the importance of being strategic about how you build relationships at work. But it's not only about work. Think about the power of five as a relationship ecosystem. If your behavior is a function of who you are as a person in a situation, start to get laser sharp about the situations that set you up for success, along with identifying the people you spend time with and how they make you feel. The key to leadership effectiveness is connecting with the right people and putting yourself in the right environment for you. Who you connect with, what that connection stands for, and how it adds value to you is critical. As you start to be more proactive in this pursuit, reflect on the environment you put yourself in and the impact it has on you. Try a who do you know audit. As life changes, what's important to us changes. So are you aligning yourself with people that fulfill you? Or are you in autopilot and spending time with the connections and networks of old? Challenge yourself today. Audit who you spend the most time with and start to identify the five people who bring you the best in yourself. And reference back and start to see the connections that you're making about your own networks and how you spend your time. Make your relationships in and outside of work, work for you. You may start to notice a theme appear, and no doubt there will be relationships that no longer serve you. They no longer serve you because who you are and where you want to go may have changed. And when this presents itself, you have an option. You either remove yourself from what no longer serves you, or you build the mental muscle to navigate it. If you're curious and you'd like to understand more about how we approach our executive coaching at Newland Rock, then get in touch. This week's leadership lesson talks to how leaders can shift from feeling stuck in their thinking and the importance of expanding our range. When people feel stuck in their career or in life in general, one reason I observe with the leaders I coach is they aren't doing enough to satisfy that part within their brain that needs to feel growth. As human beings, we need to feel as if we are evolving in some way. And for many leaders, this means learning something new. The research tells us that people with a growth mindset are more likely to be able to overcome obstacles and challenges and look for the reframe or learning opportunities, which ultimately leads to increased career success. A growth mindset sees failure as a form of learning and assumes that everyone can grow and change through experience and practice. Therefore, to maximize your leadership effectiveness and shift from feeling stuck, respond by being curious about everything. For example, there is evidence to suggest that less successful people read mostly for entertainment. Those at the top of their game are avid readers of self-improvement books. Having a willingness to keep learning is a key characteristic in becoming a more effective leader. And this talks about tweaks that we can make to ensure that our thinking and our perspective expands. So what are you already doing that you could dial up and do differently? What can you learn to do differently in a way of improving your impact? And what can you do to shake up your daily agenda? Think about the adjustments you can make to your routine, and maybe think about how you create space that's just for you in order to explore and expand the opportunities available to you. The trick to rebooting and expanding that part of the brain when life is already chaotic and challenging is about reframing what is going on around you. You reframe and you expand. Think about building your mental fitness by being extra curious this week. Explore what you are already doing with a fresh lens. Literally, turn it on its head. How else could I view this? How else could I think about this? Challenge yourself to think things differently and enjoy gaining that fresh perspective. Here is my sixth and final leadership lesson for this success series, and it's possibly the most important. I see it as the foundation for everything else. This lesson focuses on the importance of sleep being in your leadership toolkit. Sleep is for winners. Most of us can recall a conversation where working through the night or surviving on little sleep sounded like a badge of honor. It's the only way I can get everything done, is a typical reply. Understanding the importance of sleep isn't new science, but if maximizing your leadership impact and boosting your performance is important to you, there is compelling research that suggests it starts with you and it starts with your relationship with sleep. Sleep is a critical leadership effectiveness tool. The science tells us that when we sleep, we are giving our brain the rest it needs to reboot and recharge. And when you prioritize your sleep, you are at your best inside and out. We all need to sleep. But creating the habit to prioritize sleep, and that can include creating a routine or an environment that supports sleep, that can feel hard. And there are numerous reasons why we can get stuck in this unhealthy sleep situation. And when I think about the high achieving leaders I coach, there are typical responses that I hear. If I don't work late, I won't get across my workload. I don't need it. I've always worked this way. I'm used to it. If I go to sleep early, I won't get any time for myself. If switching off to sleep and calm your mind doesn't come up as a priority for you, and you get by as you are, think about what could be possible for your leadership goals when you feel revived. Yes, I know, I really have been there too, and there are countless books on this subject for a reason, as sleep deprecation affects the majority of us at some stage in our life. How can we succeed at sleep? Lack of sleep is like punishment to your brain. Sustainable leadership is about incorporating techniques and lifestyles that can reboot your brain, shift you from thinking from survival mode to a place where you can expand. And when we experience quality sleep, it becomes our opportunity to rejuvenate and reset. You then have the mental robustness to beat those sabotaging thought patterns. Plus, sleep is important for building up your immune response.
Without sleep, your brain is more likely to operate from survival mode. That's that autopilot space where we go to logical thinking, rational thought. And this fight or flight arousal means that you are attacking your day. Your stress levels increase, your levels of anxiety can spiral, and your saboteur muscles, they actually get stronger. That internal negative chit-chat, it can get louder. So you find yourself firefighting throughout the day, possibly firefighting yourself. Creating a sleep routine, getting your sleep pattern into good condition, it is for winners. Sleep literally feeds your brain. And sleep, it's free. Leaders should be obsessed with sleep. Obsessed with the routine that will create the environment to bring out the best in your sleep. And be as strict with your sleep structure as you are with your day-to-day diary at work. Get this right, and you will feel as though you are moving forward. We often hear sleep experts talk about common lifestyle triggers that can disrupt our sleep. And there are three triggers in particular that I hear come up from the leaders I work with. From a health and diet perspective, caffeine and alcohol are two triggers that lead to a restless sleep. Alcohol in particular, just 1 to 2 glasses of wine each evening, it affects our sleep cycle, which is why some of us can fall asleep reasonably quickly, but end up waking through the night and end up in a light sleep mode. The third common trigger is blue light from electrical devices. Social media, for example, and scrolling can stimulate the brain to stay active. In addition, research in this area talks about how late night scrolling can trigger negative thoughts. So when we combine all three, caffeine, alcohol, social media, and then we add the stressful demands of a leadership role, you can see how a lack of quality sleep starts to become a catalyst for not being as effective as we could be. So here are a few tips that you can try. First, tweak your sleep time routine. Make it an event in your day and not an activity that you are trying to fit in. Value the impact good sleep will have on your performance and make it a priority. It can be the most indulgent, calming, and relaxing event of your day. Treat it as critical time for you. Try a warm bath or a warm shower before bed, and it's a way of stimulating the vagus nerve, which helps to calm down your central nervous system. It also signals to you it's a time for sleep. So create a routine that includes a signal to the brain that it's time to unwind. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you find your mind spinning and overthinking, one technique to try is counting backwards slowly from 5 to 1. This can help to interrupt what's on your mind. It's a way of drawing your attention and focus to a space where you have greater control over what you think. By doing this, you are connecting with the prefrontal cortex that enables you to shift your thinking patterns. Ultimately, it's about reframing sleep as a critical leadership effectiveness tool.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Newland Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast with me, your host, Kate Thomas. If you would like more information on how I can help you or your organization maximize your talent and leadership effectiveness strategies, then reach out to me through my website, newlandrock.com.